And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Temperatures in Juneau are expected to climb to highs near 80 this Friday, with a heat wave that will extend into the weekend. National Weather Service meteorologist Kimberly Vaughn said a ridge of high pressure is making way for intense sun across the region.
It's pushing things down and away, and that's why a lot of times you'll see clear skies and such.
Normal temperatures for the first week of July typically hover in the low 60s. Of course, there are always exceptions. The heat wave will crest on the anniversary of Juneau's hottest day on record. Temperatures reached 90 nearly 50 years ago on July 7, 1975. Despite a week of record-breaking temperatures across the rest of the nation and the globe, local meteorologists don't expect any records for communities in Southeast. But the term heat wave is relative.
Our heat wave that we're seeing that's in the 80s, you know, places like Texas, that's not going to be as exciting for them. But for us, it's definitely warmer than normal.
Scorching global temperatures can be linked to a combination of human-caused climate change and the naturally occurring El Niño phenomenon. It's a period of warmer-than-average ocean temperatures in the Pacific that occurs every 2 to 7 years. In the short term, heat-related injuries are possible this weekend, especially for pets, children, and the elderly. People should be sure to drink plenty of water and take breaks after long periods outdoors. Meanwhile, last year was Alaska's worst early wildfire season since at least the 1960s. But this year, the state is having a completely different experience. While more than 1 million acres burned by this time last year, this year Alaska wildfires have reached just over 1,000 acres. That's the smallest record in decades. This year, there's been cool spring statewide, which causes later snowmelt. Late snowmelt typically results in the late start of a wildfire season. The late start of a wildfire fire season could also be linked to low pressure across the Bering Sea, which brings cool air and less thunderstorm activity, therefore less lightning. This year, more than 100 wildfires have been recorded, but most of them were linked to human causes rather than lightning. This does not mean that Alaska is in the clear when it comes to wildfire season. If a period of warm, dry weather hits the interior, followed by a bout of lightning, things could take off. And scientists expect warming summer temperatures and earlier winter snowmelt under climate change. That could increase the frequency of wildfires in the coming years. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is testing out a new marine drone this summer to help survey wild fish populations in the waters off Alaska's coast. As KMXT's Kirsten Dobrith reports, the agency says the new technology could transform the work it does, from stock assessments for fisheries to marine mapping.
Alex DeRobertis is a biologist with NOAA Fisheries. He's standing in a big warehouse on Kodiak's Pier 2 next to Drix. That's the name of what is essentially an unmanned robotic boat NOAA plans to launch this summer.
It's probably about 2.5 feet wide total, about 24 feet long, and it's powered by a diesel engine.
The Drix looks kind of like the top part of a bright red submarine just visible at the water's surface. There's a couple ways to control it, from the research vessel Oscar Dyson or remotely using Starlink satellite internet. DeRobertis says it's a big first for the agency, and there's not much technology like it anywhere else.
You know, 5 years ago you couldn't do this. 10 years ago this was science fiction.
That's because although Drix is physically small, it has big potential for transforming the way researchers complete stock assessments for Alaska's fisheries. A pod under the vessel is equipped with sonar equipment that sends pulses of sound out into the water. The signals bounce back when they reach something. Think of it like a high-tech fish finder. Scientists can then combine that data with data from trawl surveys to get a better picture of the midwater column, where fish like pollock are typically found. DeRobertis says NOAA plans to use Drix for coastal mapping, too.
So the basic idea here is that the ship and the robot are going to be side-by-side, working in the same area. The robot is going to make half the acoustic measurements, and the ship is going to trawl where it sees fish and where the robot sees fish.
Scientists have only tested out the Drix in Puget Sound. This summer is a big trial run, though. The Drix will be used in the Gulf of Alaska for the first time and in tandem with research teams completing midwater stock assessments aboard the Oscar Dyson. Researchers will compare the data to see how Drix performed. When Drix isn't in use, it will be stored on the deck of the Oscar Dyson. That's another big part of this summer's test run, to see how feasible it is to actually use the marine drone in Alaska.
How do we do this, launch and recover it from a ship and sort of incorporate it in all of our operations? And really the only way to do that is to actually do it.
If it all goes according to plan, Drix might end up being a regular part of the surveys in the future. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
Juneau Rep. Sarah Hannon has filed to run for re-election in 2024, nearly a year ahead of the deadline. Hannon, a Democrat, won a third term last year, but she says she and some of the other members of the Minority Alaska House Coalition are filing early so they can fundraise around a potential special legislative session.
I need to make sure that I am, quote, legal if I decide that, you know, we're going to raise money in a campaign way to talk about vetoes.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget vetoes about half of the one-time school funding increase that was passed by the legislature. That left some districts, including Juneau, struggling to close significant budget gaps. Hannon and the other 15 members of the House coalition sent a letter last week to Speaker of the House Kathy Tilton requesting a formal poll of membership to see if there's enough support for a special session to override budget vetoes. Hannon is a retired teacher, and she says they hope to override the veto before next legislative session in January. That might make things easier for school districts at the start of next school year.
And we know that it's a long shot, but public pressure can change politicians' minds.
According to the coalition, Tilton has not yet responded to the letter. Tilton is a Republican from Wasilla, and she previously told the Alaska Beacon she did not see enough support among legislators to hold a special session, which requires support from at least 40 of the 60 members per the state constitution. Campaign filings show several other coalition members have also filed to run again in the last week. Looking ahead to the next election, Hannon says fiscal stability remains the big picture goal for the legislature. She plans to continue advocating for the things she believes Juneau residents care about.
Better ferry service, better schools, better public safety, and all of that costs money. So to get there, we need to talk about revenues and long-term revenues.
Juneau's other Democratic member of the House, Representative Andy Story, says she's not yet ready to talk about her plans for re-election. NOAA biologists are asking people to watch for two humpback whales that were seen entangled in fishing gear in the Juneau area on Monday. One of the whales, a male named Mananoa, was reported tangled in a crab pot line in Fritz Cove on Monday morning. NOAA biologist Sadie Wright says the agency is tracking that whale.
From the Coast Guard vessel, we were able to attach a satellite tag buoy to the entangling materials that were trailing this known whale. His nickname is Manu. If he slows down or appears to be showing any signs of distress, and we can launch another response.
Wright said the entanglement is life-threatening because it could prevent Manu, the whale, from eating. Manu was trailing two yellow buoys with a green buoy behind him. He was last tracked near Warm Springs Bay on Baranoff Island, but Wright expects he will come back to the Juneau area. She said NOAA would like any photos or information people may have on the whale. A second unidentified whale was reported entangled in gillnet gear in the Taku Inlet just before noon on Monday. Wright said NOAA is seeking any information on this whale, too, but she encourages people to be cautious if they see it.
Stay at least 100 yards away from the whale for the whale's safety and for their own. Sometimes boat propellers can get snagged up in the entangling materials that whales are dragging behind them, and that just makes a bad situation worse.
To avoid the chance of entanglements, Wright recommends that people avoid using floating lines. For more stories like this, check out ktoo.org.